It's always a treat when I have Rex Buddy, the CEO of SIH in the studio, Southern Illinois Healthcare's Chief Executive Officer. It's good to see you again, Rex.
Good morning. Always a pleasure to be here, Tom.
You know, I watch closely. I watch what you do, and I suspect I'm not the only one who watches closely what SIH does. And I've watched it grow and morph over the years, right?
Yep.
Taking more areas where there weren't health care and providing health care, providing better health care, the Da Vinci surgery machine. And now it seems to be in my mind, Rex, I am watching SIH, who has been responsible for the physical well-being of Southern Illinois, take on a bigger role in taking care of the economy of Southern Illinois. Am I wrong?
Well, we are certainly an economic cornerstone of Southern Illinois. I mean, we employ almost 4,000 people, and the supplies and services that we purchase in the region. When you do the multiplication on that the chambers of commerce always talk about, you know, it rolls into the billions of dollars on an annualized basis.
But when I look at this in a more specific sense, that if I wanted to back up my argument,
sure,
I would say, look, we know and have known for a number of years with an aging population, we're going to have a nurse shortage. We know it.
Right.
We're going to have a doctor shortage.
Right.
We're going to have a nurse shortage. In the front line, I think you and I both see this front line in the war on good health. Our nurses.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And PAs, I think, too, to a certain extent. But nurses, they're every day, both sexes. I don't think we're just talking about women here as well.
Nope.
And so when you see SIU, economic engine and potential, and you know we have a nurses shortage coming our way, that you start ponying up $750,000 for 3 years nursing program SIU and a new school of medicine building.
Yeah, it's exciting, the things that are coming to the region. You know, we've been blessed to have community colleges that do a really nice job of helping us prepare nurses and other folks. But the ability to have that four-year degree right here in the region is going to be huge. The ability for SIU to start growing its enrollment again will be huge. We see playing a part to help get that off the ground so that they can, in fact, do that while they kind of get their feet back underneath them. And I think the current leadership is doing a wonderful job over there. You know, they're also talking about developing a PT, physical therapy program, and an occupational therapy program, and we've made a pledge to help support that also. And we've got next year we'll have the first medical school class full that stays down here for 4 years. We've always had the one kids come in and stay for
right.
a year, then go to Springfield. But that starts next year. It's exciting
That's
to see this.
That's a good piece of news right
you
there.
Know, yeah, it is. It's exciting to see this. We'll have full-time medical students, and our hope, obviously, is we can recruit them, get them here, get them to stay in Southern Illinois.
Right, which will be a task in and of itself, but that's a task anywhere you go.
Right, absolutely.
Because of the market.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about this new school of medicine building, substantial outlay to be able to grow this, and it just from a perception standpoint seems like it sprung out of the ground too. I'm not sure how
that
happened.
They made that thing that popped up pretty quick.
It did, didn't it?
I'm,
so it's
I'm
not
impressed.
Just me.
No, it's a beautiful building, and it's going to be a great space to train. And it did. The project's gone really well. And that's kudos to a lot of really talented people, Dan Beckman and folks at the school and stuff that really know how to do their jobs well.
Were you surprised at how politicized an effort to grow a law program like this became? Because it became a thorn in some people's sides, and you had to keep pushing. And I'm glad you did. I want to point blank tell you that. I know you had help, too,
yep,
which I know
absolutely.
This is the first thing, Rex, whenever I put him in this situation, I'm not the only one that helped. I get that. But you all had to push, and I kind of had a sense of wonder that we had to push so hard for something we needed so bad.
Yeah, politics are what they are, and personalities are what they are. And fortunately, I think those days are behind us now. There's collaboration inside the unit. There's collaboration between organizations. There's really good leadership. You know, the new board for SIU has hit the ground running, and we're making they're making progress, and the region's making progress because
of
that.
And pulling people through the funnel can be difficult. We've all had to do it at some point.
Oh, sure, but you know, I'm more optimistic than I've been in a long time because I see the school really turning around. We continue to stay very, very busy, and continue to add new services to support the community, you know, support SIU, which supports the community, outlying areas. It's a great time.
So basically what you're telling me is you got to know your place in the organization, but and it takes everybody to be able to do it. But,
absolutely.
But, you know, while at the same time, you've got to lead, which, you know, I was surprised SIUE decided to get rid of the nursing program. I was, because I'm the same thing. I'm going,
well, they didn't get rid of their nursing program.
I read an article says they did. And
no.
Then, okay,
no, no,
well, then
no.
That was that
probably something else, because they're
that's where that fake news comes in.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Good. I'm glad you correct, because I'd heard that. I'm going, why in the world
now,
would you
do that?
Now, it
may have been that they weren't going to do it down here, since Carbondale's going to do it, because they had a small program down here. That may have been what that news
piece was. That may be
when
it was. And when it had the E on the end of it, it didn't make sense to me. You know, my significant other works at the cancer center.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen her happier.
Good. Good.
And, you know, a lot of people say, what do you mean? You work with people with cancer every day and you're happy? She is.
If you walk into that place, it just has a special feel to it, Tom, and it's a tribute to, you know, Jen Badu and who manages the building and all the folks that are in there and the physicians and the staff, and they have assembled a team of people that are very, very, very caring. And they have to deal with sad news and wonderful news, and, you know, cancer's tough. And but they have achieved something that's very special. Not only is the technology there, not only is the high-end trained staff there, but they've also created a really wonderful environment.
And a group diagnostic program where everybody is in on a case and making themselves available in their thoughts for everybody that comes through the system so they get the best.
Right. Yeah. I've sat in on some of the cancer meetings and stuff when the docs get together to discuss cases. And you know, it's like you're watching a TV show or something. I mean, they're really good at what they do, and it's really comprehensive, and I'm really proud of it.
Does it need to grow? Does it need to be bigger? Do you need a bigger facility for the cancer center?
We are going to expand the facility. We've got plans to add about 15,000 square feet to that facility. It's been, you know, it's one of those things where I'm beyond pleased it's so successful. I'm also sad that it's so necessary because of all the cancer in Southern Illinois.
Right.
But it has been a massive success, and we're going to add about 15,000 square feet of clinical space, not administrative space or overhead space, but of clinical space. And so we're in the process of finalizing the drawings and getting the CON taken care of and you know, get started, probably breaking ground after the first of the year to start that project.
You'll start fundraising efforts, too, as you did with the previous cancer center?
You know, I think, you know, and some people may have held back a little bit, not knowing how well it was going to go and how successful it was going to be. It's been a massive success. People are staying home for their care and not having to load somebody in a car and take them great distances when they're sick and they feel bad and it wears out the caregiver and all those kinds of things.
Right.
They don't have to do that anymore for most of the stuff that goes on.
So the what makes sense is to expand the existing facility as to build a second one at a different
right.
location.
Yeah, because the equipment is so expensive. I mean, you know, the
expertise is you
right.
can't spread it too thin either.
Right. Yeah. It's people can come there. They can get their lab stuff done. They can get their chemo done. They can get their radiation done. Instead of having to make multiple visits to multiple places, you know, they can do one-stop shopping.
And you know, this health assessment report that just a new one published recently at SIH. Backs up the decision making. And once again, and I thought it was very wise of you to say, you know, it's sad that we have to have it, but glad we have the facility.
Right.
I think the same thing could be said for these numbers. When you look at 5-year survival rates, you look at the incidences of cancer in some counties substantially higher than the national and the state average. So, you know, the need is out there every day. But catching them early enough is still a task for us.
Right, yeah. You know, there's still work to be done by us on our community knowledge on, you know, get in for your screenings, your lung screenings, your colorectal screenings. Don't be afraid, because it never gets better if you don't get the screening. And I just went through that with my brother. I was on him about getting to the doctor, getting screened, and they found a few issues, but fortunately they found them early enough they're going to be able to deal with them.
Good.
And had he kept waiting, so there's it's scary. And but you know what? It's not as scary as what happens if you go undiagnosed.
Right. And it's only fair to mention, I think one of the reasons why my significant other enjoys her work is because she's a cancer survivor.
Right.
And so she's been on the other side, so she has a level of empathy
She knows that journey.
You know, that she says, I understand, and let's try to get this done and scheduled as quick as we can. So, because it does seem, whenever I listen to her talk about her day at work, no, we're not waiting for the scan until Monday. We'll do it tonight.
Right, right.
That not waiting thing and saying, oh, well, you know, it'll be 2 weeks before we can get you in the scanner. Sorry, right? That's not something you hear.
Our staff will, I mean, they've done some amazing things to get people care as quickly as possible because they understand. You know, anytime you're sick, it's bad. It's uncomfortable. It's whatever. There's just something extra scary about a cancer diagnosis.
There is. And how it affects the people around
Absolutely.
You as well, which is something you mentioned earlier. I do not know something, and so now I'm going to have to ask you what it
okay.
is. What's a zero harm space?
Okay. We have a little saying called journey to, you know, our SIH, our journey to zero harm. And our goal is, how do we keep raising the standard for ourselves to get better and better and better? And what's interesting in that statement about zero harm is the definition of harm. Everybody's definition of harm is different.
Yes.
For a person laying in a bed, it may be that they got a decent meal, that someone paid attention to them, that it can be very things that you may see as insignificant, but emotionally very important to somebody. So
a 23-year-old in your care and health care doesn't have a USB port to charge their cell phone, and they can't be on social media, and they're unhappy.
Right. Well,
it covers a lot of ground.
It covers from mistakes, you know, from medical mistakes to those kinds of things that impact a person's outlook and reaction. So we have taken that mantra on to really push ourselves, to try to take ourselves really to another whole level of care, to be aware of what is it that person in front of you, and even staff, so there's not harm for staff, that we support our staff emotionally and physically and create a safe environment for the patients and the staff. And it's kind of like, in our mind, the highest level we can possibly get to.
I have talked to people who have been at other facilities who have talked to me about this, although it didn't have the name. A very close friend of mine, daughter, was ill, took her to Mayo Clinic. And he says, I've never seen anything like how they treated us. It was one of the most personable experiences and most professional experiences at the same time. I've heard other people say that about St. Jude as well. And it's weird because when you started mentioning that, I can see if you want to get better, well, we could be better with surgery of the Da Vinci machine. We could be better at X-ray diagnosis and being able to use the new digital transfer so that everybody can see the images. Or we could be better everywhere. And that's kind of how I interpreted what you just said. We could pick a department. We're going to pick colon cancer. We're going to work on that. Or we could work everywhere at the same time this way.
Yeah, you know, we do our detail work in various departments and stuff if we see we have some process issues or what have you. And I know the folks in marketing were a little concerned about using a term called zero harm. Well,
right.
Everybody's going to think we're out there tearing people up. Well, no, that's not it at all. It's how do we set the highest standard possible to worry about people's physical needs, emotional needs, medical needs, so that when they come into our organization and leave our organization, we've dealt with all their needs.
Because saying customer service makes you sound like something other than a hospital.
Well, you know, and that's an age-old debate. Do you call them, are they patients or are they customers? Guess what? They're both. Their family are, you know, they're customers. Anybody that's involved in that individual's experience is a customer. Now, our product is different because we're caring for human beings.
Right.
And you can't.
You don't
ever
want to make them sound like merchandise.
Right, yeah. They're not trucks. They're not cars. There's nothing wrong with trucks and cars.
Right.
So that's why we went with zero harm, because it helps us encompass so many different things.
Got your work cut out for you, don't you, big fella?
Well, you know, why not, right?
I'm thinking about this, you know, through my experiences. You know, people have been around me from surgery to aftercare to anesthesia to whether I've got a pair of socks in the cold floor. Can I make it to the bathroom? I mean, where's my food at? I mean, I'm just thinking over and over again. I'm in pain of all the things that you can heap on in that area.
Right.
And so now I see why I have to make it so broad, because everything, well, I mean, hospital food is a literal joke, right? I mean, it's a proverbial punchline, and you guys worked on that problem, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah, we have got some people that work really hard to try to produce good meals and make it, you know, make it more palatable for folks. as opposed to just something to fill the hole.
So what do you get up every morning and ask you, what's new, what's next, and what else can I do that I haven't done? I mean, Rex, I've known you for a long time, and I'm a big admirer of how you lead SIH and the work that your people do and the services that are provided to my friends and family. I mean, this new deal now where everybody's worried about babies, and rightfully
right.
so.
Right.
You know, my sister had a baby down here by Motomart, right? The back of an ambulance on the way from Harrisburg. So, I mean, there are issues out there that need to be pulled down. This is another one that you guys have stepped up on.
Well, you know, we're doing a lot of planning as it relates to that whole issue, given all the recent changes and what have you. And how do we reach out to the moms so they don't have to travel such great distances, at least for the pre-care
right.
and some of those types of things. We're having conversations with a variety of the physicians in the region and purveyors of care. How do we coordinate our efforts better? We don't need to waste resources. Resources are too scarce. And how can we work together so that we can maximize the benefit? A lot of conversations around the neonatal program and working with the state on how do we set the rules and how do we set rules that make sense for Southern Illinois as opposed to hospitals up in Chicago. So there's a lot of things that people never see that are done by a lot of really talented people. You know, one of my vice presidents, senior vice presidents, Phil Schaefer's working constantly on the rules around NICUs, the neonatal intensive care units. It goes on and on and on. The staff on all the various units, how do we get better? How do we get better? How do we get better?
That's a tough one because a person has to kind of do that themselves, even though you can lead them to it. That is still an inner thing in my mind.
We had this, cutesy little saying, whatever you want to call it, and I've said this for years, and now it's almost 4,000 people. I always said, I don't really want 4,000 employees. And I pause for a second. What I want is 4,000 problem solvers.
Right.
And I try to meet with all our new employees, and I get that done about 95% of the time, and I tell them you need two good things to work here. You need a big heart and a great smile. And we're going to be okay if we can do that.
Yeah. I it was interesting. One of the ladies I met that last time I was in your care, immigrant from China, mm-hmm. wonderful lady. Really enjoyed speaking
right.
with her. And she took extra time out because, as Roz, who's in the studio, will tell you, I'm compulsive curiosity incarnate. And so I'm talking to her about this and that and this and that, and she was so pleasant and put up with me so nicely. You know, I'm thinking, thank you.
Yeah, we've got
it's weird.
We're blessed to have a lot of wonderful people that work for us.
Yeah, you really are.
Absolutely.
Almost 4,000. I probably could have guessed 8. I would, but 4,000 people is still, that's plenty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot, and we got a lot of great people.
What's next for you?
What's next for me? Actually, to go see my granddaughter this weekend. She turns 11. But if we're going to go real short, we're continuing. Like I said, we're continuing to look at our services. We got to expand our services as it relates to the cancer program. We're going to expand our services as it relates to OB. And how do we take care of the growing book of business there? We're looking at getting the trauma program off the ground at Memorial. Just on and on and on and. We're blessed to have a board of directors that believes in our mission, which is to take care of all the health and well-being and all the people in the communities we serve.
How much longer on the trauma center? Trauma center certification, I think, would be the proper term, right?
The inspection is supposed to occur sometime this fall.
Good.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was going to take a long time. I talked to the person who was heading up the trauma program, and I was like, boy, it takes a lot longer than I would have thought or hoped, I think.
It is. And quite frankly, we won't do the inspection until we're confident that we've got all the pieces in place properly. I mean, we don't want to do this in name only. We want to do this right so we can take care of people.